You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of the MLB Extras Red Sox podcast. Tim McMaster here, along with Ian Brown, our Red Sox reporter. And Ian, the truck leaves on Monday for spring training. So, despite this this vortex that's going on and the freezing cold temperatures, there is hope on the way. Spring training, not that far off. Pitchers and catchers reporting in about 2 weeks, and there's a Super Bowl in between to keep people occupied in the New England area. So, that is good as well. We're going to focus in on the starting rotation as we continue to go around the horn with this team. Before we get to the rotation, though, and the starters, one note, I guess, as far as the roster goes in the last week, Henry Mejia has been signed. It's a minor league deal, invitation to spring training. Here's a guy who was once an effective closer for the New York Mets, but all kinds of trouble with PED suspensions. He ended up testing positive three times, got the lifetime ban back in 2016. He has worked his way back in the good graces, I guess, of the commissioner's office and has been welcomed back to baseball. Obviously, all eyes will be upon him and the tests will be frequent. But what do the Red Sox see in this guy? Is there a optimism that he's a guy that could help this major league bullpen in 2019?
Yeah, Tim, I don't know how much of an optimism there is. I just think that, the Red Sox are in the position right now of trying to stockpile as many relievers as they can and kind of seeing who clicks here. And it's a low risk flyer here. They're not, it's just a minor league deal. So it's not a big money thing. He has closed before. It's been a while. You hope he's over the PED stuff. So I think just give him a chance and see what he's got once they get to spring training. But, I wouldn't read too much into this. I think they're just, why not? He's out there and you don't really have an established closer yet. So I think you're just trying to get as many different options as you can right now.
They still do not have an established closer, and Craig Kimbrell is still available, but it doesn't seem like, it could just be quiet things and everybody's doing a good job of not speaking about it, but it seems like there hasn't been a lot of movement on that front from the Kimbrell side of things for any team.
Yeah, there's quite a few teams interested in Kimbrell, and I think we're trying to see what exactly the market is going to be. I honestly don't know what price the Red Sox are comfortable with here, but if it goes down to a certain price that they'd be comfortable with, maybe it can happen. I'm not going to rule out him returning to the Red Sox until I see him sign with another team. I mean, he is still, he's still working out in the Boston area. So he still has a living facility of some sort here. So who knows? Stranger things have happened. So, at this point, what I guess he's going to be back with the Red Sox? Probably not. But again, it wouldn't completely shock me either. I think that this Red Sox closing situation is a little unsettled. So if you get a guy like Kimbrell back, it would bring some stability there. What amazes me, Tim, about Kimbrell is that, look, he had a bad playoff last year, and everyone is just like, they never want to see this guy pitch again. It's just like, that's the lasting impression everybody has about Craig Kimbrell is what happened to him in this postseason. But you look at what David Price and all the problems he had in the postseason before, and he fixed that last year. So why not Kimbrell? So I wouldn't completely give up on him.
Yeah, certainly. And the track record for his career is special and historic to a degree. So he'll find his way to a team somewhere. And you wonder if this year leads to a bigger, longer-term deal next year, if he has to maybe settle for something short. But we will find out. All right, let's get on to the rotation now. And it is a rotation that is pretty near the same as what we saw, at least at the end of last year. It starts with Chris Sale. So let's start there. This guy's been an all-star the last seven seasons. But last season, only 158 innings pitched as he spent some time injured. He led the American League in innings pitched back in 2018, just a year ago. It seems like just an important year for him and the team because I think the Red Sox would love to see this guy continue to pitch in Boston, but he's got to prove he can stay healthy, and he has to do that for himself as well. How do they handle Sale early in the season and throughout the year, do you think, to kind of manage that?
Yeah, I think they'll be careful with him, especially early in the season. I think they're going to try to try to convince him that he doesn't need to throw 100 miles an hour in April, and then he doesn't need to throw 100 miles an hour in the first inning. And you know, it seems like he started to dial it back a little bit when last year started, and then got to about, I think it was early June, and he just started unloading and throwing 98, 99, 100, was pitching his best baseball of the year, was dominant, was the by far the leading candidate for Cy Young, and then he got hurt. So I think if there's any way they can convince him to just sort of, you know, conserve it a little bit, you know, it's not easier said than done, especially when he's in a free agent year now. So this might be easier for them to do if they were able to reach a contract extension with him, which, you know, I'm not sure is going to happen. So all eyes are going to be on Chris Sale. But look, this Red Sox training staff does a great job with these guys. You saw what they did with David Price at this time last year, getting him healthy again. And he really didn't have any setbacks at all with his elbow at all last year. So you hope that with Sale and the shoulder problem he had, you hope it's the same thing where, you know, he's worked hard with the trainers all winter. He lives in the Fort Myers area anyway. So he's been at the spring training complex virtually all off season, and you know, hope that he's back to 100%.
The selling point, I think, to him can be just that, hey, everybody knows you're a great pitcher. They need to know that you can pitch, make your 30 to 35 starts. So let's scale it back a little bit and make sure you do that here in 2019. But when on the mound, he was lights out, including the ninth inning of Game 5 of the World Series, where he closed it out for the Red Sox as they won the championship. All right, on to number two, and that's David Price. And wow, what a difference a few months makes, basically. David Price now is the postseason hero instead of the disappointing big money pitcher that the Red Sox signed to a free agent contract a few years ago. So he's back. He's opted into that contract. The demons, hopefully, are behind him. And he's got a new number. Ian, this sounds like he's switching from 24 to 10. Is there any reason why?
Yeah, I'm not sure what that's all about. Obviously, we haven't had a chance to talk to David lately. He's one of the few guys we haven't heard from at all this winter, just because he wasn't at the winter circuit. You know, these guys did the writer's dinner. Some of them were there. A lot of them were at the team's winter weekend, and we haven't seen David since the World Series parade there. So not sure what's leading to the number change. I'll be interested to hear about that in spring training. But, you know, he certainly pitched pretty well with 24 on his back last year. But look, it's just amazing the way this guy changed the narrative. He had a terrific second half to the season last year. And then, but you look at the way the playoffs started against the Yankees, and it was like, oh, here we go again. And then against Houston in the game two of the ALCS, it was sort of shaky. He got out of there giving up five runs, I think, over four innings. And then starting in game five of the ALCS, when he made that great start on 3 days rest, just a different guy the rest of the way. Not only the game five there, but then the game two of the World Series, and then he was one of the many guys who came out of the bullpen in game three. And then for Alex Cora to again go with him in game five of the World Series when he had Chris Sale available on regular rest, and instead of David going short rest, and he just dominated the Dodgers. So it was definitely a special time for David Price. I'm sure it gave him a lot of confidence. It took a big weight off his shoulders. For the first time in his career, he hasn't had to think about postseason failures this winter. So I expect him to come in a very good frame of mind this season.
Yeah, and you mentioned the frame of mind. It'll be interesting because when he first signed with the Red Sox, he was always a very good on social media guy. His Twitter account was popular. And then as things kind of mounted up and there was some negativity within Boston for him, he kind of went away from that. And there was obviously some run-ins as well along the way where he got chippy. And it all seemed to just be collecting. And then the postseason run maybe just blows all of that away, the big monkey off the back. Do you expect there to be a lighter-hearted David Price come spring training 2019?
Yeah, actually, Tim, you know, for the most part, he was pretty good to deal with this past year. 2017 was a tough one, and he was just, you know, ornery the whole year. And I think anytime a guy goes through an injury, it puts him a little more on edge. But the whole Boston narrative just wasn't working with him for him. But he came in with a much better attitude last year. There's a little mini dust up with the whole Fortnite controversy and the carpal tunnel and all that, and he got a little edgy just for a little bit. But for the most, I found him very approachable last year. I mean, you could go to his locker on any given day and either interview him or just, you know, shoot the bull with him. He was very engaging. And then, you know, once the whole thing happened in the playoffs, it took it to another level. So, you know, I think he's going to be fine. I think that he finally gets that this Boston thing, it might be a really hard place to pitch when things aren't going well. But when you are, when you do have the town on your side, you know, there's no better place to pitch. So I think he's going to experience, you know, the good part of Boston. And hopefully the fans will remember what he did and not jump on if he has one bad start, you know, here in mid-April.
Oh, yeah, I think there'll be a little bit of leeway there for David Price coming off of 2018. All right, Rick Porcello in the three hole here in this rotation. Another guy in his contract year. Bounced back nicely in 2018 in the win column. You look at the other numbers, Ian, and I just wonder if 2017 wasn't as bad as it just looked on paper. I mean, was he that much better in 2018 than 2017? Or did 2017 just kind of get out of control with the losses?
Yeah, you know, there were times in 2017 he was fine. It's just a matter of a few times he got hit really hard. The exit velocity was really high off him at times. I think he made some adjustments with the new pitching coach, Dana Lavangi, and just kind of got back to doing what he does best, really focusing on that sinker and really mixing in his other pitches. And he's a very dependable guy. Look, you hope that he can be sort of what he was this past year, which was kind of somewhere in between what he was in 17 and 16 when he was a Cy Young Award winner. You don't need him to be a Cy Young Award winner. You just kind of need him to be that durable, dependable guy. But I'll tell you what, there's nobody on this pitching staff that people respect more than Rick Porcello. He really is, you know, one of the leaders of this pitching staff. You know, he kind of set the tone, I thought, in the playoffs last year when he took that eighth inning in game one against the Yankees and kind of ran with it, and he did it again a couple more times. And look, Rick sort of set a tone for them, and you hope that you know, you can keep him in a Red Sox uniform beyond the season because he's a core part of this team.
You talk about respect on this rotation. A man, Nathan Eovaldi, earned some of that in that Game 3 of the World Series. He returns on a three-year deal to come back to this team. Really one of the big moves of this offseason to solidify that rotation. When he was obviously with the Red Sox late last year, for the most part starting during the regular season, then doing everything in the postseason pretty much. He throws hard. He's now a little bit further away from the Tommy John surgery. But how did the Red Sox go about managing Eovaldi, really because of that workload in the postseason? Which we've seen in the past, that sort of October work can take a toll on a guy if you're not careful with it.
Yeah, no, I think that he's feeling very good. Look, his shoulder is getting stronger and stronger. He had a checkup with the doctor before he signed with the Red Sox, and everything looked great. So I think they navigated that. So again, this training staff does a great job, and you do have to be mindful of his history. But I think Nate feels that his shoulder right now and his elbow are stronger than they've ever been. So they're not going to push him. They don't need him to pitch 220 innings. I think Alex Cora will be very mindful. You know, he'll set a number, maybe 170 or something like that, and hope to get that out of Eovaldi. But yeah, just a big boost to have to know that he's here for the next 4 years, because you don't know what's going to happen with Sale. You don't know what's going to happen with Porcello, but you know you're going to have Eovaldi and Price at least for the next few years, and Eduardo Rodriguez also. So you still have a pretty good base for that rotation. I expect Eovaldi to be a big part of it. He really meshed well with the, you know, the Red Sox do a lot of analytical things with their pitching, and the analytics guys, I think, really looked at his whole repertoire and really worked with him on how to maximize that great stuff he has. And I think he used to kind of try to get by with two pitches. I think they kind of showed him, you know, the more he mixed up his stuff, you know, the better he was going to be. So I think he's really fitting well here. And I think there's a lot of excitement to see what he can do with the Red Sox over a full season.
Yeah, he was so good a year ago. The fans loved him. Everybody embraced him. All right, Eduardo Rodriguez, you just mentioned, coming off really his best professional season, 13-5, a 3.82 ERA. Still couldn't stay healthy for the entire year, 23 starts, 129 and two-thirds innings. It seems like at some point during every season, something lets him down. The knees have been such an issue. But this year, he's got a full off season. He should have a full spring training. What kind of a difference can that make?
Yeah, you know, the last year, the ankle thing, that was just kind of a fluke thing. It was really, that could have happened to anybody. But he just, you know, if nothing else, he's had some bad luck to him. But I think that he's learned as he's gotten older how to keep in better shape. He really impressed them last year, the way he came back from the ankle injury, where he was just really determined, where you saw in the past with the knee thing, he was very tentative when he would come back and very kind of sheepish. And he really pushed it last year. And he was like, I want to be part of this team. I want to be part of this team down the stretch. And he was, and he's maturing still. I think he's still 25 years old, I think. So he, young guy here with a world of potential. And it seems like we say every year this could be his breakout year. You know, last year almost was. So this next one could be another step forward for Eduardo. He still has, like you said, the one thing he's never done here is kind of just stay healthy for a full season. So if he could do that, he's one of the guys they can push a little bit this year innings-wise, because he was one of the guys who was not overtaxed last year, either in the regular season or in October. So he actually could shoulder kind of a big load for this team early on that could help these guys.
Yeah, 2018 kind of felt like the semi-breakout for Eduardo Rodriguez. If he just hadn't had the bad luck injury, maybe it would have been the full thing. Maybe we'll see that now. All right, so if they need to, or when they need to, go to a sixth starter, because nobody gets through a full season with a five-man rotation, is Steven Wright the clear-cut guy that fills in when needed?
Not sure, Tim. It kind of depends on how Wright is going to fit in with the bullpen there. And if he becomes a really important piece of that bullpen, they might not want to take him out of that. I think they look at Brian Johnson and Hector Velasquez as two guys who could really swing back and forth from rotation to bullpen. And both of those guys, Alex Cora, for one, feels that neither one of those guys got as much credit as they deserved last year. They're never going to jump out of you on the stat sheet, but they came through for this team. Time and again, whether it was a long break without a day off, or they wanted to mix in a starter, whether it was a doubleheader or whatever, you saw both of these guys step in, very dependable. And Wright will be interested to see how he fits best. Still, just it all depends. It's all kind of interwoven with this bullpen and how that kind of comes together.
All right, we will continue to talk about this team as we get ready for spring training. Again, pitchers and catchers just a couple of weeks away as we record this podcast on February 1st. You can find Ian on Twitter at Ian M. Brown. I'm there at MLB_McMaster. All of our club podcasts for MLB.com are at MLB.com/podcast. Also on Apple Podcasts and Google Play as well. That'll do it for this edition of the Red Sox podcast. For Ian Brown, I am Tim McMaster. Thank you for listening.